Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, Luke chapter 1. We're going to continue on with our series called Home for Christmas. Somebody say home. Home for Christmas. I had a very special joke that I wanted to share with you that my family thought wasn't that great, but we'll see who really loves me this morning. I'll share this with you. So there was a dad who was at his company Christmas party, and he won this special toy at a raffle. And so he was trying to decide which of his three kids should get this special toy that he knew that they were going to fight over. And so he brings this toy home, and of course he shows his kids, and they all start freaking out. Daddy, who's going to get this toy? And so he said, well, who's the best behaved? And they all look at the oldest and say, well, she's the best behaved. He says, well, you know, who keeps the cleanest room? And they look at the baby of the family like, it's definitely not you. It's probably the middle child. And then they say, well, who is always obedient to mommy? And they say, well, you know, daddy, you should get that toy. That's about the same reaction I had from my family. So it's kind of all downhill from there. Home for Christmas. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaks these words that many people have tattooed on themselves, have used as their life verse. It says this, these three remain. Somebody say the word remain. Remain. The Greek word here is to live there, or they abide, they stick close. We would use this word like home. These three words are home. He says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love are supposed to be home. So most of the time when you read 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to see this read at a lot of weddings. That's the love chapter. But the Apostle Paul is not necessarily talking about a wedding. He's confronting two things. He's confronting the culture of the Corinthian church and saying your reactions to life ought to be different than the way the world reacts. And he's also confronting how they use spiritual gifts. He's saying you guys have taken these things and you've gone in crazy directions. I want to bring you back to the solid foundation of simple faith in God, hope in God, and love that comes from Him. This is your new home. Faith, hope, love. These three remain. These are home base. These are your default mode. This is what I want you to fall back on when life gets crazy. Faith, hope, and love. So last week we talked about the faith in the Christmas story of a man named Joseph. This week we're going to talk about the hope of Jesus' mother, Mary, found in Luke chapter 1. So when you think about the word home, you may have a great picture in your mind. You may have a horrible picture depending upon your upbringing. All of us have different views of what home looks like. Now, I, like many of you, have had many different homes. There's lots of places that I've lived, but I remember a very specific home, which was my very first apartment. Now, even the word apartment sounds a lot bigger than what this place was. This was an efficiency apartment, which is a fancy way of saying tiny, tiny. It had an accordion wall that separated the bedroom from the kitchen. It barely had a door between the kitchen and the bathroom. It was small. Now, I was thankful to have it. This place was $290 a month, all bills paid. And it was all that I could afford. Times were lean. How many people here have been part of the struggle? Come on, somebody. Lean times. The difference between the home that I had moved out of with my parents and this tiny efficiency apartment was great. Lots of differences. When you're living in an apartment, and even though I was thankful to have it, you are at the mercy of the cleanliness of your neighbors. You're at the mercy of the noise volume of your neighbors. You're at the mercy of whoever your neighbors are. If they're good people, you've got a good apartment. If they're bad people or nasty people, you're going to have a rough time. And so I remember trying to make this efficiency apartment a home. And this was not an easy thing because it just didn't have a lot of room. And so someone brought over to us some furniture. And by the word furniture, I mean all the stuff that they didn't want anymore that was just supposed, probably should have gone in the dumpster. Let's bring it over to Tim's house. He doesn't have anything. And I was thankful to have it. But they pulled in a bright orange pull-out couch, which weighed about 4,000 pounds. This thing was heavy. When it was moved into place, where it is where it's going to stay. And some of you have had to sleep on a pull-out couch. And let me just say, for those of you that have been privileged enough to not have to sleep on a pull-out couch, you don't understand the struggle. Because these things, when you pull them out, have one horrible characteristic. They have that bar that goes right across the middle of your back, making it impossible to sleep on. It is proof that there is a hell and a devil that is here to destroy your rest. Anybody been there? Have you been there? You've had to sleep on the pull-out? And so what you end up doing, instead of sleeping with your head towards the front of the couch, you end up sleeping on the side of it, just trying to divide the bar from not being in your back. But you kind of sleep on each side of the bar. And it's not long enough for my 6'1" body. And so you're trying to curl up in the fetal position. There's no comfortable way to sleep on a pull-out couch. And this mattress that's inside of this pull-out couch, once again, I'm grateful to have it. But it had been worn through so much that you kind of just sink into it until the mattress has folded around you like a cocoon. The struggle is real. And I remember one night laying on that pull-out couch that's bright orange with the cigarette holes in it where people had just put their cigarettes out on the arm of the chair. But I'm grateful to have it. It's all we got. And so I'm laying there trying to keep the mattress from folding around me and suffocating me. And I'm just about to fall asleep when a huge roach crawls up my leg out of this couch. Now, some of you, you can go back to sleep after that. You have the spiritual gift of rest. I don't have that gift. My reaction normally in those situations is, let's burn this whole place down. Burn it down. This place is infested, right? You see one roach, it's infested. But I remember not sleeping for the rest of the night. I could not get back to sleep. You had adrenaline going through your whole body, this fight or flight. You know, someone might have just come in with a gun. And I would much rather have that situation than a roach crawl up my leg while I'm trying to sleep. The struggle is real. And all I could think about in that moment is, this cannot be home. This is not home. I'm not used to this. You know, what happens to you when life gets crazy? What is your default mode when you get stirred up, when you're shaken? When life gets a little nuts? When things get hectic? What do you fall back on? You know, in those moments, I fell on frustration. I began to yell at my wife. Because that's my default mode. That's where I go to. That's my fall back on. Getting angry, yelling, screaming, taking my frustrations out on someone else. What is your home? And so the Apostle Paul, when he's confronting the culture of the Corinthian people, he's saying, look, you can change your home by changing your response to life's frustrations. Let your new default mode be faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So as we get to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, there's a young lady named Mary, and many of us have read this chapter so many times that it's almost become ingrained in your mind. But I want you to see it through a fresh perspective this morning as you see that when she gets a word from God that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, she doesn't just take it and say, wow, this is an awesome thing. She freaks out like many of us would. There's an angel that walks in her house. That might be okay in Bethlehem. In Texas, you're going to get shot, angel or not. We don't call 911 here. So the angel says, look, hey, don't be afraid. Like, are you kidding me? It's like a roach crawling up your leg. No, you don't be afraid. No! You don't understand. So look at this in verse 26. We'll read through the next few verses. It says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. The Bible says Mary freaked out. It says she was greatly troubled. That word in the Greek language is diatarasso, which means shaken. Shaken. Think about it, if you would, somebody taking a fresh bottle of Dr. Pepper and just looking at you. Hey, do you want a drink of this? Sure. But before they open it, they shake the whole thing up. This is Mary's state of mind. Shaken. Just about to explode. I'm freaking out here. Let's be honest. This is what the Bible is saying. It's not just, wow, thank you. I'm highly favored? What an amazing thing. No, she's like, who are you? What are you talking about here? I'm freaking out. She was greatly troubled, and she wondered in her heart, the Bible says, that what kind of greeting this is? Who says hello like that? What kind of greeting is this? Most people knock on the door. It says, but the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. And she says, you're lucky you didn't get dealt with. That's my version. He says, you found favor with God. You're going to conceive and give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus, and he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary says, how is this going to be? I don't know if you know how people conceive, Gabriel, but that's not how it works. I'm not married. I'm a virgin. She says, how is this going to happen? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how babies are made. It says, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. And then he gives a powerful insight that we need to pay attention to today. He says, for no word from God will ever fail. Now that's a scripture to be underlined, a scripture to be highlighted in your Bible. No word from God will ever fail. And I love Mary's response because she combines faith with the hope that this angel brings into her situation. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you say, I believe you. May your word to me be fulfilled. This is where faith and hope meet in the heart of a young girl. And I believe that this is the exact moment that she gets pregnant, when her faith and her hope line up with the word of God. You see, Mary had her whole life worked out. She had her husband picked out. Life was just about to take off, and God interrupts and throws a little bit of a little bit of monkey in the wrench, right? A little bit of crazy, a little bit of wow, a little bit of wonderment, a little bit of okay, here we go. Life has a way of doing that. Just when you think you've got all your plans worked out, and God's like, yeah, about that. Let's go this way. Lord, are you sure? Because my plans are really good. And that whole scripture, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Let that apply to someone else, because my plans are really good, Lord. I finally found a husband. My cousins don't have no husbands. I finally got a husband. Leave this alone. Don't mess this up. He's not going to believe me when I'm telling him I'm pregnant by God. That doesn't fly here. But she responds with faith. As the angel is speaking to her, that what's inside of you is the hope for the world. Hope is a powerful thing. I wonder this, what is your response when you're greatly troubled, when you're shaken, when life gives you lemons? What is your response? And we could give the typical Christian answer. Well, I just trust the goodness of God. Do you? It's easy for us to say, but we've seen you. You're just as crazy as everybody else. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you respond the right way, and sometimes you freak out like me. Just burn it down. And you may blame it on your upbringing. Well, the reason why I react this way is because we're Irish. The reason why we act this way is because we're Mexican. Well, you know how us Scottish people are. At some point, it's just you. You're crazy. Come on, we've all got something. And you're going to keep blaming everybody else for the way that you react, or you can take responsibility for it and say, you know what? I've got a bad home. My default is perhaps a little screwed up. And the Word of God is asking me to switch my home to something that is spiritual. My default mode can change. I can have hope. Hope. Here's my question to you. What's your hope in? When life gets crazy, where do your hopes go? In order to understand biblical hope, we have to have a new perspective, a new vision of what the word even means. You see, in the English language, when we use the word hope, we can use it interchangeably with the word wish. hope and wish in English mean the same thing. I hope my husband did the dishes when I get home. I hope my kids graduate from high school. I hope my oldest son doesn't have to go to prison. I hope my in-laws don't come for Christmas. Hope and wish in English are interchangeable, but not so in the original language that the Bible was written in. You see, when we use the word hope, according to the New Testament, this is the Greek word elpis. Somebody say elpis, which means to wait with expectation. It's what we would use, the word would be more correctly translated as anticipation. And there's no greater picture of anticipation and expectation than watching a kid on Christmas morning. Someone that has seen the presents start gathering around the tree over the past few weeks, and they know that when Christmas Day comes, there's something underneath that tree for me. I may not have any idea what it is, but I trust the one that put the gift there. Come on, track with me today. This is the word that Paul is using over and over, especially in the book of Romans when he talks about the God of all hope. Hope is a powerful, supernatural thing. Now, for many of us, when we saw gifts underneath the tree, some of us had more gifts, some of us had less. I was raised in a home that didn't celebrate Christmas at all, now, which was horrible, but I did have a grandma that would buy us Christmas gifts, and she'd say, oh, I just got you something. I'll give it to you on December 25th. So technically, it wasn't a Christmas present. The religion I was brought up in didn't celebrate Christmas at all, which was just another way of saying we're cheap. Some dads in this place are like, hey, what religion was that, and where can I join that church? Because it's getting a little crazy this time of year. And so I remember looking at my grandma's house and seeing that there were gifts around the tree, and I would look for my name. And when you found your name on a big gift, oh man, hope begins to get stirred. Because that means I'm getting something for Christmas. Grandma knows me. Grandma loves me. Grandma knows the things that I've been looking for and thinking about, the things that I've been wanting. And I wonder which of those things it is, because I trust that my grandma loves me and has good things in store for me. See, hope is putting our anticipation, our expectation upon the goodness of God's character and realizing that even though I can't see the outcome of this situation through my natural eyes, I trust that the giver of good gifts, my Father, is going to take care of me. And there's this anticipation of the goodness of God coming through in the most crazy of situations when there is hope present in that situation. Hope is a powerful, supernatural thing. It's anticipation. It's expectation of good things happening way beyond a wish. Hope. Hope. Somebody say hope. I want to give you four things that hope is according to God's word. Number one, if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Hope is a gift from God. It's a gift. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul calls God the God of all hope. All hope. He says this in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Why? So that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here he's saying, here's the God of hope, and his ultimate destiny for you is that you're overflowing with hope. Because when you're overflowing with hope, you're going to get its two counterparts that come together, joy and peace. Joy and peace are critical when you're walking through a storm, when you're walking through a period where you have no hope. Hope is a gift from God. It's part of who he is. And he's sharing his essence and his character with us. And it brings joy and peace to any situation. That's the reason why Christians can walk through tough times and still have peace. That's the reason why we can walk through dark days and still have a smile on our face. Why? Because our hope is in him. It's not in the things that we don't see. It's in the things that God is. It's not in our worries and our anxieties and our stresses and our fears. Hope is a gift from God. You know, we're hardwired to hope. God has put this inside of each and every human being. It's part of who he is and his gift to all of mankind. And this is so true in the hearts of children. Children are full of so much hope and wonderment. They can dream. They can envision. They have hope for the future. And life has a way of sucking that hope out of you the older that you get. And we say things like, well, now I'm just a realist. No, now you're just a pessimist. Let's just be honest. Well, I hope that this happens.
Well, I'll tell you what's really going to happen.
Right? Because life has a way of sucking that hope out of you. Oh, but when we receive the gift from God, when we receive His hope, something supernatural happens. It changes our home. It changes our default mode to where instead of being pessimistic, instead of looking at the dark side, we can start looking through the eyes of faith and have hope that this situation can get better. You know, two of the most powerful words that you're ever going to hear in Scripture are the two words, but God. But God. I can't change, but God can change me. I can't fix this, but God can. I can't heal myself, but God is my healer. I can't make this work. I can't handle it. But here's the good news. I don't have to. Why? But God is my healer. He's my source. He's my strength. He's my ever-present help in the time of trouble. My hope is in Him. Hope is a powerful thing. It's a gift from your God. You know, I believe that this is one of the reasons why God chose young Mary, because she's so full of hope. God loves to choose young people who still have hope. And by the way, you're only as young as your hope. If you can still put your hope in the Lord, you can stay young. You can still dream. You can still have vision. You can still look beyond the situation and see it through the eyes of faith and have hope that things can change. Hope is a gift from your God. How many people here know that even though you may receive a gift, there's a big difference between receiving it and actually using it? Where's your hope? When was the last time you used it? When was the last time you allowed yourself to have some hope? To believe that things can change? Hope is God's gift to you. Use it. Hope again. Here's the second thing that hope is according to Scripture. Hope can change the atmosphere. It's an atmosphere changer. You ever been around somebody that has no hope? You ever been around someone that their hope is just completely gone? Oh, it just sucks the life and the energy out of the conversation. There's just no hope. But then you get around someone that's full of hope, and you're going to start hearing vision. You're going to start hearing dreams. You're going to start hearing a future. You're going to start hearing words like destiny and tomorrow and this could be. These are people that are full of hope. And here's my hope, is that we would build a church full of hopeful people that are no longer struggling and saying, I have no hope, but they've put their hope in Jesus. And in the process, they found that there's a better tomorrow coming. Our hope is not in just the things that we see, but in Jesus. Hope is a powerful thing. It changes the atmosphere. I was standing outside after first service and giving the same message, and, you know, not quite as good as we give the second service because you guys are amazing. But we have two friends of mine, which are Henry and Evelyn Emmons, and they're in their 90s, and both of them are walking outside, and of course they are complimentary every week, and every week they tell me, this is the best message you've ever preached. And we are so, oh man, just so good. Best one you've ever done, Pastor. I'm like, thank you. That's awesome. Every week it just gets better and better. And then Henry started singing. He said, sing with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I looked at Evelyn and said, come on, you're the singer, join in with us. And we had the most amazing trio singing about the hope that can only be found in Jesus. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? You know, hope changed the atmosphere right on the sidewalk as we began to sing about the hope in Jesus. It changes things. I need to change my situation, Pastor. Speak hope to it. Sing about hope. Hope changes everything around us. That's the reason why at the end of Luke chapter 1, Mary's response is recorded in your Bible. It says this as Mary's song. Hope and creativity go hand in hand. Hope and dreams, hope and vision go hand in hand. Where there is hope, there's a better tomorrow. And you can think again, you can dream again, you can see again. It becomes worth it. Have you been there? Oh, I love her response. She says, from now on, the world's going to call me blessed. Because I'm giving the gift of hope to a world that has no hope. What a powerful concept. Mary's song. I want to encourage you, give it a chance. In Luke chapter 1, read this in your own time if you would. Read her response. Read the hope that's birthed inside of her heart. And it comes from a place where she was greatly shaken, freaked out. But her response changes the world. What could your response do when life gives you lemons? What if you chose a different home? What if instead of just doing things the way that you've always done them, what if you responded with hope instead? What could change? I want to encourage you to think about this. Dream about it. Envision this. What could change? What's possible if I brought hope into this situation? Instead of my doubts and my fears and my anxieties and my stresses and my pain of yesterday, what if I brought hope into it instead? What could be? Oh, hope changes the atmosphere. This is the reason why it's so important for you to get into a group, especially when your hope is under attack. You're going to get around some hopeful people. Oh, I want to build a church full of hope. A church that gives people something to look forward to and not something to dread. We've got enough of that. But here's Jesus working through each of us to bring his hope to a world that has none. And let me just tell you, there is no plan B, by the way. This is it. It's hope in Jesus or nothing. So it's important that we get this. Change your home to hope. Hope changes the atmosphere. I wrote it down this way. Hope is the foundation that dreams are built on. Hope is the foundation that dreams are built on. When you have hope, you have a dream. You can see things differently. You wake up with a reason to get up. You have hope. I wrote it down this way. A church filled with hope will cause others to start dreaming again. Number three, hope is a painkiller. Believe it or not, studies have shown that hope does the same thing that morphine does. When people have hope, you can walk through things that you didn't know you could walk through. You can endure past what you thought you could endure. Because we see beyond the pain. We see beyond the trials. We see beyond the heartache. We see beyond the loss. We see beyond the grief. We have hope. And when there's hope, you can walk through. You can persevere. You can continue. You can keep going. You can keep pushing. You can keep trying. Because hope is there. It's a powerful scripture in Romans 5. It's a scripture that many of us don't want to apply to our lives, but we have to admit that it's important. Not many people will tattoo this scripture as their life verse on their arm. It says this, we also glory in our sufferings. Yep, don't like that. Don't like that at all. We glory in our sufferings, he says, because we know that suffering produces something. It produces perseverance. Perseverance, it says, produces character, and character produces hope. So you're saying that suffering and perseverance, working on my character, that's where hope comes from? Yeah, they're all intertwined. But this is what keeps us walking through tough situations. Hope keeps us from stopping in the middle of it. Hope keeps us from giving up. It says hope doesn't put us to shame. No, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope is a supernatural thing. It's a gift from God, and it's yours. The last one is this. Hope is a choice. It's a choice. You see, many of us have been deceived thinking that hope is a feeling. Now, let me tell you this. Hope can be felt, but it's not limited to a feeling. Hope is a choice that each of us can make. It can become our new default mode. I respond to crisis now with faith in a good God and hope that things will change. I anticipate things getting better. I anticipate that things won't stay the way that they are. I expect a good God to come through with good things. oh, this is much different than the way I was raised. You need to see this concept today. It's a new way of believing. Faith, hope, and love, these three remain. They stick. They'll be there when everything else is gone. My faith in God, my confidence in Him, and my hope that He can do powerful things. He can change. Hope is a choice. It's more than a wish because it's grounded in faith, this basic belief in the goodness of God's nature. I've said it before this way, and I'll say it again. Choices lead and feelings follow. Make the choice, and your feelings will line up with the choice. But when feelings become your home, you've already lost. That's where hopelessness sets in. That's where people give up and die, quit. Hope is a powerful thing. It's our new home. I want to encourage you, no matter what you're walking through in life, to bring hope into it. Bring hope back. Choose hope. And watch what God can do when you start counting on a good God. I echo Mary's words. No word from God will ever fail. She says, let it be. I say yes. The angel gives her hope. And because she chooses to believe it, she changed the world. What could God do through your world if you chose to respond with hope instead of fear, instead of pessimism? What about hope? Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from Him and He knows it and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.